It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, thanks for joining us. Monday morning, SiriusXM channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus on the show today. And hope you had a great weekend, by the way. Ron Flatter will join us late. Interesting horse racing prop over there at William Hill about will a horse that wins the Belmont also win the Derby? We'll talk to him later in the show. Captain Jack Andrews to talk about the horrors that is the betting scene in the District of Columbia. Just ridiculous. Captain Jack will be here. We'll talk about other states as well, including California, maybe. That's interesting. And also joining us just in a few good minutes, Steve Zabin, the greatest Washington, D.C. sports talk host there ever was, and one of the greatest of all time, period. Also doing his stuff in Milwaukee now. We will talk to him about all things Packers, Redskins, Caps, Wild, and, you know, global pandemic. Danny Burke is in studio there in Las Vegas. Danny, good morning to you, man. How was your weekend?
It was good, Gil. I got to go outside a little bit, do a little bit of hiking, watch some sports, of course. So, no, man, it was good. How about yourself?
We're on lockdown. You thought this pandemic was over. We have a curfew now in San Francisco. That's right. 8 p.m., baby, inside. Now with other concerns, obviously, in the nation. So there's that. Just the strangest of times. But I'll be there next week, I think. I'm coming down to Vegas next week. How'd you do with UFC? How'd you like, Saturday night?
Oh man, just like a good friend, Lou Finicaro, not too well. Because basically what I've been doing these past few weeks is assessing my picks based off Lou's, and this isn't a knock on Lou by any means, because he's been giving us constant winners throughout this whole pandemic. And even before that with UFC. So personally, I only did a couple of bets, and the one I did was the, Cyphers and Dern, over 1.5 round prop, and that one didn't hit. And then I had Woodley, like a lot of other people did, and we all know how that fight went. It was pretty disappointing, to say the least. So just a small loss, really, nothing too major. But, you know, just happy to be betting on sports at any given day at this point, so can't complain too much.
Yeah, I felt pretty similar to that. Not a great night betting-wise, but just in terms of just reactions to an entire UFC card, some really good fights. And some of the same concerns that I had before about UFC as well. So if you go to the, let's say the Spike Carlisle, Billy Quarantillo fight, again with, you know, how does it come up in the judging in the end? Do you go with Spike Carlisle's dominance early in the first round, certainly, and really throughout the second round? Or do you go with the amazing and dominant, and when I say dominant, just whitewash finish of Billy Quarantillo in the third round? It was the latter that prevailed. And then the Blagoy Ivanov Augusto Sakai fight, with that one, you wonder to yourself, all right, well, the announcers are saying one thing. The announcers seem to be completely in the tank for Sakai, yet, as you're watching it through the lens of an Ivanov better, as I was, you're like, I don't really see it that way. Like, this could go either way. They didn't take a point off for Sakai grabbing the fence, which ultimately, if you look at the judge's scorecard, would have made the ultimate difference, because the first judge, and by the way, I don't agree with this either, first judge had Ivanov winning all three rounds, which was ridiculous. But again, if you look at the split decision, if they deduct the point from Sakai for grabbing the fence, then Ivanov wins that. So again, it's don't be influenced. We see this in boxing all the time. Don't be influenced by the announcers. And then the main event, Woodley and Burns, Tyron Woodley, Gilbert Burns, which Burns just destroyed Woodley from the outset. I am not as seasoned a UFC watcher as others, but just from a layman's perspective, sure looked like Tyron Woodley had nothing and no answers. You would hope from a champion like that you would have some answers if facing adversity, but just didn't appear so. So enjoyable night. It's what we had to bet on. But I will say this. I think the night of UFC a couple weeks back, where it was the big sports game in town and in the country, had itself to the mountaintop on the sports betting landscape that night, was great. I think it felt a little dimmer the other night in terms of it's like, okay, I like this, but I'm ready for real sports to come back. Like, this can't carry the day week after week after week. Speaking of sports, and a man who knows sports that carries the day, we're efforting to put in to get Steve Zabin in here. Zabe is a guy who I grew up with in Washington, D.C. And we'll grab him momentarily. Also on the show today, by the way, I should mention, we're also going to talk about this Lance Armstrong 30 for 30 documentary, which for all the hype that The Last Dance got, by the way, the Lance Armstrong doc was just out of control in terms of, I think it's on my 30 for 30 Mount Rushmore, quite frankly. That's how good it was. Whereas The Last Dance, as we pointed out throughout its 5 weeks and its 10 episodes, was which is rife with errors, half-truths, omissions, on and on, while still enjoyable. But it's certainly not going to be catapulted into the stratosphere of 30 for 30s because of those things, in my humble opinion. The Lance Armstrong one, man, we got to get into that with Danny. It's just fabulous. So we'll talk about that as well. Oh, and then the notion of Vegas openings. And maybe we should start there, Danny. Maybe that's the way to go here. Let's start with what's going on next week in Las Vegas before we get to all the other stuff. June 4th, that's when it's happening. So Thursday, now some are jumping the gun with restaurants on Wednesday evening. But take the South Point, for instance. South Point opening 8 a.m. on Thursday, which is going to be one of a host of casino openings on June 4th. And just to give you an idea of the list, if you're planning on an early trip to Vegas, June 4th, here's what's opening. The Wynn and Encore, Sahara. Let's talk about strip properties mainly here. The Cosmopolitan, and of the MGM resorts, Bellagio, New York, New York, MGM Grand. Those are the three that are opening. As far as Caesar's Palace is opening. The Flamingo is opening. Sheldon Adelson's group, The Venetian, is opening. Downtown, all of Derek Stevens, the D, Golden Gate, DN Golden Gate for Derek Stevens, also downtown. El Cortez, Golden Nugget. South of the Strip, as I mentioned, the South Point, the M, another property down there, and a whole bunch off Strip, like the Orleans, Gold Coast. So there's a whole bunch that are opening. But as far as the Strip is concerned, you know, what's not opening? The Aria, Park MGM, Planet Hollywood, not opening on June 4th. So beyond the Strip, pretty solid openings all across. The Strip's going to be sort of hit or miss. But of the properties that are opening, pools are going to be open. Restaurants, nightclubs, no. But a lot of pools are going to be open. So it's going to be very interesting to see if it's going to be a deluge or a trickle come Thursday here in Las Vegas. Let's go to them. If you live in Washington, D.C., or as the kids like to call it today, the DMV. We didn't call it that as kids, by the way. The District, Maryland, Virginia. You know him as the greatest Washington, D.C. sports talk host there ever was at Team 980 there in D.C. And now applies his trade in Milwaukee as well at 97.3 The Game. We'll get into that. And has his own podcast called The Zabe Cast, which is just spectacular because he's not sticking to sports, boys and girls. It's Steve Zabin. Good morning, Steve.
Very wonderful open. I will send that check in the mail later today. Perfectly done.
What's the story? So what's your day like now? Take us through. You wake up, and what show do you do first? Do you do dedicated shows at each?
Well, what happened was years ago, I was doing a sports hit on an FM morning show in Milwaukee. This goes back to 94, Gil. And I did it when I lived in Illinois and was working at Sporting News Radio at the time, which was actually one-on-one sports. And then I moved to Charlotte and was doing sports radio down there, but I kept doing the hit with these guys in Milwaukee from Charlotte. Then I moved to D.C., and I kept doing the hit with those guys. Did it for almost 25 years, and then finally another station in town opened up, and they said, look, we're going to make you an offer you can't refuse. You know, we're going to bring you up here as many times as your schedule allowed during the year to go to events, cover Packer games. And I said, let's do it. So I'm doing this daily show for 97.3 The Game, 6 to 9 a.m., which is 7 to 10 Eastern time. And then in the afternoons here in D.C., I'm still on Team 980, 980 FM from 4 to 7, although it's now 3 to 6. And I get the podcast out when I can, usually before or after the show. So why not, right? This beats swinging a hot tar mop on a roof somewhere, which is a real job. So,
yes, it does. You're like, there was an R&B jock, Tom Joyner, for many years, called himself the flight jock. He would do a
he flew from Dallas to Chicago and back every weekday. Flew.
Amazing.
And I don't know why he couldn't. I mean, it's better to do the show in studio, obviously, with your co-hosts and stuff. But, man, that just seems crazy. But, yeah, it's one of those things.
Now,
anyway, I heard you talking about what we talked about on the podcast last night, and that is Vegas taking its first baby steps back. And, I mean, I love it. I'm such a fan of the city. I go there every year in spring for March Madness, sometimes a couple of times a year. I've got my guys, my Goombas rerouted from what was going to be a spring trip to a fall trip opposite the Masters weekend, which will be in the heart of the NFL season. It'll be truly unprecedented, once in a lifetime, and we are very much looking forward to it. So I hope the reopening goes as well as possible.
What's the line on that Monday that follows the Masters of you saying, "Oh, it was too much. I couldn't pay attention to either." Good. It was too much. Too much sports. Too much betting. Masters
no,
NFL.
No such thing as too much. I mean, as long as you have eyeballs that can scan multiple screens, it's going to be glorious. And the Masters. Let's see, West Coast time. I'm trying to think. I've never watched the Masters from Vegas before. So, you know, if it finishes at 7 p.m., it'll finish at 4 in the afternoon. You can start early in the morning and start watching it. Oh, God, it's going to be so much fun.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. But if I gave you a free ticket to come this week, would you come this week? Or you're like, yeah, I'll let other people do that first.
I would not mind being one of the first responders or on the front line for one reason. When will you get Vegas at such light capacity?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Ever again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
I would do it. I got a buddy who's coming this weekend, and he made sure to book his trip as soon as possible. He, like me, is a big proponent of the city and loves to go out there. So he ain't scared. He's going to go. And you know what? It has to happen at some point. That's the thing. As afraid as some people might be, at some point you got to stand up and march. It sucks, but it's the truth.
At some point, you got to stand up and march. Talking to Steve Zabin from the Team 980 in D.C. and 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. Before we get in, because I want to get your thoughts on the Packers and the Redskins, the Caps and the Wild and all that. We'll run into a break. But I mentioned you do this podcast, the Zabecast, which you were kind enough to have me on. Hope I didn't ruin it for you yesterday.
We'll love having you on.
One of the things you're doing is you have gotten to the point in your life and in your career where the old stick to sports thing, you're like, yeah, no, I'm done with that. And that's in the podcast. You're like, I'm branching out. I'm talking about anything I want to. How has the response been to that beyond what you normally do? Because we struggle with that every day. We're like, well, we'll stick to sports. But, you know, it's kind of hard not to stray.
The whole stick to sports mantra usually applies to us in the sports realm giving out political opinions or societal opinions, let's put it that way. We don't stick to sports on my shows when it comes to guy stuff like movies or trips or beer etiquette or all that other stuff, which is not sports. But the stick to sports usually comes from hot button topics and events. And the only thing I would never aspire to be a day-to-day political commentary guy. Believe me, there's enough of those already, and they've done it longer and are way better than me. The only reason I started to get more and more fired up during this coronavirus thing was because this was something that was affecting livelihoods, and this was something that was having devastating employment consequences and still has and will. And I just felt that there was all sense of proportion lost, and any kind of consideration, Gil, for, okay, we want to stop the virus, we want to slow it down, but at what cost? What other things are going to happen that will go wrong because of our overwhelming zeal to focus on one thing and one thing only? And it was a discussion that seemingly few people were having, at least at the governmental levels, and it was driving me crazy. So I just wanted to be an outlet for other people going, thank you. I was saying the same thing. I was down for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. That's been 10 weeks ago, though. That's the thing,
yeah.
And that's hard for me to get over. You tell me 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and we do it, and then you start adding coins to the parking meter. Now there's a breakdown in trust between, I think, the people and government at large. So that was kind of what I ventured into during this thing. And the irony of ironies is now with all the social unrest, I'm not sure old COVID's going to get much playing time now because of it. It's, you know, I don't know how much of the news cycle is going to be dedicated to it.
Well, and as we talked about on the Zabecast yesterday, Vegas is going to be a very interesting case study. And, you know, people who have listened to this show, they know, and again, I mentioned this to you yesterday, but they know March, I was probably ahead of the curve of caution. April, I was right there with the caution. Over the course of May, I've kind of come to your side. I really have. Like, enough. Let's dip our toe into this. We'll come back.
Well, there are sports, and I think sports gambling and sports radio analogies to be made to the whole pandemic, in that you can both scout the virus like a player. You know, what are its strengths? What are its weaknesses?
Hang up for a second. Let's pick up this thought. We'll go to a break. We'll come back. We'll pick up this thought. We'll get your thoughts on the Packers, Skins, Wild and Caps. Come back. Steve Zabin on the Numbers Game at BCB Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It is Gil Alexander live in San Francisco. Steve Zabin, kind enough to join us for the first portion of today's show from the Team 980 in D.C. and, of course, 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. The Zabecast is the podcast. You wanted to finish your point, Steve?
So my point was there's a lot of things that I think a sports mind could get into with the pandemic. Two levels. One would be scouting of the virus itself. I likened at first the virus to, I called him Corey COVID, this hot young player out of Wuhan that everyone was raving about. And I was like, but is he any good, or is he just another coronavirus conference shooting guard? Because, you know, we've got a lot of coronaviruses out there.
Yeah.
And they're all like in that less than 1% lethality range. But the early results on the very grainy YouTube footage of Corey COVID in Wuhan was, no, this guy's badass. He's like 3% death rate. But then as it traveled around the world, we learned more and more. So you could scout the virus if you follow the epidemiologists and the medical people. But then there was a numbers element to it, almost as if you were Billy Bean in Moneyball, saying to yourself, well, hold on a second. These numbers don't add up. Something's not right. You know, you gotta crunch the numbers. I'm not even a numbers guy, and my math is terrible, but I found it sort of fascinating to just follow it. Plus, with no sports skill, there was nothing else to dig into.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. It's a numbers game.
Anyway, let's hope it's on the backside of us, and we move forward. Packers, Redskins, where do you want to start?
All right, Packers, 9.5, the under slightly juiced in terms of season wins. The Redskins, 5.5. Actually, the Packers 9 under juiced. Redskins 5.5 under juiced. Let's go with both. Let's start with the Packers.
I'd take the over on the pack, but I am just so pissed at this Jordan Love thing. It is exactly what I would not have done. But Gutekunst and the team, they know Aaron Rodgers a hell of a lot better than me. My philosophy is not complicated. You got a Hall of Fame quarterback who is still healthy and in his late prime, you load the boat and you ride him into the ground. That's my philosophy. Instead, they're like, well, how do we get Rodgers? We layered him. The team did. You guys weren't around at the time. The team layered him in behind Favre, brought him along slowly, and then boom, uninterrupted awesome quarterbacking for 20-plus years. And my response to that is, you got lucky. You got lucky once that Rodgers fell like he did, and you got lucky it worked out. Don't act like your luck is a template on how to do things. Plus, I saw, Gil, a lot of, you know, pre-draft scouting reports on Love that were very meh minus on him as a prospect, like not impressed. So the fact that they brought him in and they've kind of unleashed a narrative of how soon can we get him in, I think it's set a clock, a doomsday Rodgers clock ticking, in which they've got 2 years max with Rodgers to do something. I don't think it can last. You can't sit Love for three full years. I don't think it can.
9-1, the Packers last year, 9-1 in one score games. So they really got the best of it last year. And, you know,
they did get the best of it. And as I said to all the Packer fans, some of them didn't like hearing me say it, I said, you had a real downwind season. Well, what does that mean? I go, look at your injuries. They were one of the least injured teams. They caught Kansas City on the road without Mahomes. They got a number of other breaks. I'm like, be honest, it was a downwind season. They weren't as good as their record. Doesn't mean you don't take it. Doesn't mean you don't enjoy it, but don't kid yourself. And then we saw what happened in the championship game. They got pantsed.
I love the imitation of the fan. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, you get those.
Yeah, who's worse, Packers fans or Skins fans in that regard?
Oh God, you know what? I've come to the realization that fans, there's no bad fans. They love their team to a point of irrationality. That's all. Skins fans, well, let's see. I mean, the game this year is all about Haskins. Haskins has to blossom into a bona fide QB1 that he was projected to be, because he had a slow start, rough start, uneven year last year, and did not know the plays, Gil. Like, yeah. I got direct stories from people on the team in the building. They're like, yeah, it was a nightmare. You would say, okay, we got X Jet Smoke right tango on two. And then they get to the line of scrimmage and it would be something else. And you're like, come on, man. Adrian Peterson even got into him about that. So if Haskins moves the needle, guess what? They could be okay. Okay. Oh, eight wins.
Save, you got to stay with me for one more. Just 5-10 more minutes. You got to finish this out.
All right, fine. I'm going to make a sandwich.
A numbers game coming back right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It's June, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know that. What does Dad really want for Father's Day? Because it is June and it's right around the corner. Father's Day, that is. Steak, of course. For a limited time, you can find a variety of packages filled with beautiful Omaha steaks, plus other premium meat side dishes and desserts, all ideal for Dad's special day. These packages come flash frozen, vacuum sealed, delivered in a cooler with dry ice, safely to his door, wherever that door might be. All backed by Omaha Steaks, unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Just go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code VSIN into the search bar. Many packages include free shipping and a free one-pound package of their cured, thick Applewood smoked steak cut bacon. Man, I'm hungry. Visit omahasteaks.com, enter code VSIN, that's VSIN, in the search bar to shop for Father's Day today. Gil Alexander in San Francisco, Steve Zabin in the DMV right now with us from the team, of course, in DC, is stationed there in Milwaukee as well. The Game, 97.3 The Game, the Zabecast. So what I heard there, Steve, in our final minutes here is I think you were leaning over on the 5.5 with the Redskins, and I'm not sure where you stand on the Packers.
I'd go over on the Packers, but I'm a chump square player, so that's what we do. We bet the overs. When it's over, it's over. but the Packers would be more of a lean. For the Redskins, what is their number again? 4.5?
5.5.
Ooh. Is that moving up?
No, that's where it's been.
Okay. No, I think it just sounds so dumb, but it's like, how can you not win six games? when you pull into port after an NFL campaign at 6-10, you are spitting and cussing and throwing your hat saying that was the worst ride ever. That was the 6-10. We suck.
Yeah.
So you're telling me, like last year they won three games with Case Keenum starting, a in over his head Haskins floundering about, and a coaching change midway through where old Ironsides Bill Callahan came in and ran the ball like he was Nebraska 85. You're telling me we're not three wins better with Chase Young in the mix as well? Like, come on.
Yeah.
But everyone thinks that. See, that's the thing. That's the trap, Gil, of the every NFL offseason. No teams get worse in people's minds. Everyone gets better. Why? You drafted some guys and you added some free agents. But we know objectively some teams do get worse.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have made a cottage industry of betting against the Washington Redskins over the years, but I'm actually with you on this because I think that front seven is good enough where if you hold the other team to 17, six or seven times, you know, you'll figure out, you'll put together some wins. So I like them actually getting to six. Is there a team, I'll leave football with this. Is there a team that gets less of a ding from having no crowd in the stands if that's what's to happen? And we still don't know if that's what's to happen in the NFL. But is there a team that gets less of a ding than the Redskins, who have no home field whatsoever anyway?
I'm telling you. 25% capacity, I say, how are we going to get to 25%? It'd be a miracle. No, it's been bad at FedEx Field, and it's heartbreaking as a fan. You know, being a D.C. guy, you know what it was like back at RFK back in the day where you literally, 55,000 seats only, small little stadium with the overhanging roof, very loud. And, I mean, if you had a Redskin ticket, in the 80s, you bragged about it all week to your friends.
You
walked around with your chest out. I got a ticket to the game this week. What? Where'd you get that? And now in this cavernous, disfigured, downsized stadium where they still can't fill it up, I call them 50-50 crowds because the place is half empty and half the fans who are there are rooting for the other team.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about Allegiant Stadium and the Raiders?
I'll tell you what I know. Yes.
I can't believe, by the way, on my podcast, I did not ask you a single question about that. That is an absurd error by me. I'll ask it now. Is the stadium going to be as badass as it looks on the outside?
Yes. A quick yes. But what?
God, does it look... I mean, and there's a huge window that points right down the strip, right?
So Mandalay is sort of the strip equivalent in terms of the geography of it. So, and it's,
cool.
You know, there's a jail underground. They've thought of everything. There's an actual courtroom underground. Literally every detail, but, what a strange time for them to open the stadium, right? Like perhaps with no fans, that would be the weirdest thing. Strange, but we'll see. The NFL, Roger Goodell doesn't care about any virus. He may have fans in there. Last thing before I let you go, then, Zabe. By the way, you can follow Steve on Twitter at Zabe. That's C-Z-A-B-E. The Caps. I just asked this about the Redskins. Is there any team that takes less of a ding with no crowd? Is there any team, because of the veteran makeup, that perhaps gets hurt more by this layoff than a team like the Caps headed into the Stanley Cup playoffs?
You know what? That's a great question. I can't answer it. I think nobody can answer what this layoff thing is going to do. I don't know enough about hockey, about, you know, what they need to keep those big legs turning and in hockey shape. But I do know this. One of the greatest moments in my sporting life, no lie, Game 5 Stanley Cup Finals against the Golden Knights. I am wandering around Vegas on some overpass, drunk, happy, delirious, 3 a.m. And who do I run into in a similar drunken moment of glory? Gil Alexander. I was like, this is karma. You and I collided with each other on an overpass that night at 3 a.m. It was so beautiful.
A beautiful thing. an absolute beautiful thing. And I came to DC for game four. I flew back for game five. And it is hard, again, to express to people what 43 years of futility meant in year 44. And again, love the Vegas Golden Knights fans. It's a wonderful thing. But in the end, that year just meant more to us Caps fans. Caps, by the way, are 10-1 to win it all. The Wild, your Minnesota Wild, are 40-1, I believe, to win it all.
I'm not a Wild guy. That's Minnesota. Yeah. I don't think Wisconsin fans root for them, but I don't know.
Okay. I jumped across.
But that's all right.
All right. Zabe, I appreciate it.
All right, Gil, good to talk to you, buddy. Thank you. Anytime.
Love you, man. Thank you, sir. Steve Zabin, at Zabe again on Twitter, C-Z-A-B-E. He's going to go make himself a sandwich. Still to come, Captain Jack Andrews talk about the horrors that is betting in D.C. It's an all-D.C. show, for goodness sake. Ron Flatter on these horse racing props. And Danny and I got to get to this Lance Armstrong 30 for 30. It blows the Jordan 30 for 30 doc away. Coming back on a numbers game at DC Sports Betting Network. Back
to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Don't forget, now's the time to become a VSiN Plus subscriber. It is free. You won't have to decide what you want to do, pay or cancel, until at least one of the major sports returns. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander in San Francisco in the Bay. And Danny Burke in studio back in Vegas. Thanks again to Steve Zabin. That dude, let me just say this, Danny. That dude, for people who grow up in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, I can't speak for the people in Wisconsin who probably love him as well, I'm sure. But he is beloved. The greatest sports talk host there ever was in D.C. Really thrilled for him to come on the show. But he is Vegas strong, man. He is ready to do the Vegas thing. He's of that mindset. And I think he speaks for a lot of people who are ready to test the waters of Las Vegas. Maybe not this week. How do you feel about these openings this week, man? Am I going to see Danny Burke in a pool June 4th or maybe not?
I don't know about the pool just yet. I feel like the pool's probably not the best place to be going at this point in particular. Obviously with the weather it is, but just with the groups of people in that kind of aspect. If anything, maybe I'll just walk around some of the hotels and just kind of see what it's like and kind of get a different perspective. But this is what we were talking about with the gyms, right? I know the gyms opened up too. And I was telling my parents and my sister, I was like, yeah, the gym's probably going to be the place I go to last. Like, I might just cancel my membership. I've already been working out from home and there's really no need to go back, especially if it's going to be 50% capacity and all these rules and stipulations. And you got to go at certain times. Like, it just seems too much. I'd rather wait till everything's back and running at a normal pace.
Yeah, I mean, I was not missing Vegas for one primary reason, because I knew I live dead smack in the middle of a strip. I am surrounded by the Aria, by Park MGM, by the Cosmopolitan. Only the Cosmopolitan of those three will be open on Thursday. No dates for the other two yet. Planet Hollywood across the street will not be open either. So it's still weird in the middle of the strip, and it still will continue to be weird, even with the Cosmo open. But the pool and the workout facilities were closed until 3 days ago, until Friday, and they all reopened. So as long as the pool's in full effect, like it's just starting to open, even residencies, everything was closed, man. I mean, as it should have been. But people are starting to, slowly, one step at a time, going to open this up and see how it goes. I don't know if you got a chance. We spent so much time, as did other shows here on the network, and everybody everywhere spent so much time talking about The Last Dance, 30 for 30 on Michael Jordan. Did you have a chance at all to see this Lance Armstrong, either part one or part two last night? There were two parts to this 30 for 30 doc. Did you watch any of that, Danny?
So I saw like the beginning, like the first 15 minutes of it, and then I got caught up. I was really interested in it, actually. I thought it was really good. I was kind of disappointed because when I was rewatching it back, it was censored versus where it's uncensored when it was live. That might just be how it is for me on YouTube TV when I was watching it. But no, I was really enthralled in it and thought it was a great backstory to learn more about him, because there's a lot of stuff I didn't even know, just about his old dad situation, his mom situation, him competing so competitively at such a young age, which naturally makes sense. But unfortunately, I haven't caught up with all of it, but it seemed like it was going to be really good.
I will say this, and I said it before the break, it is so much better than the Michael Jordan documentary. And again, the Michael Jordan docu-series, which we all enjoyed. I'm not saying it wasn't enjoyable, but the fact was, is that, you know, you had omissions. There were half truths. You see a piece every day. Like, mm-hmm. if you scroll Facebook or if you on Google, whatever, like, there's so many, you know, stories that were like, yeah, it didn't actually happen that way kind of thing. And we know Dennis Rodman was never in Vegas and there was never this 14-minute, you know, limit early on. There's so many of those. And so after a while, like, it just sort of eliminates it from getting considered as a great, great docuseries, because look, if you're not documenting, it's not really, you know, top shelf stuff. And Michael Jordan, this is the key component of it all. Michael Jordan had final say. It was his control over these tapes. Well, this is a documentary, a two-part documentary. And Lance Armstrong, first of all, there's a lot of similarities to Michael Jordan. And really, in his sport, he was every bit of Michael Jordan. But he was, you know, he hated his opponents. And he invented, not invented, but he trumped up rivalries. He was not a nice dude. There was a lot of similarities, but that's what it took for him to be great. That's what he felt at the time. He thought, you know, the younger cyclists, like basketball players, think of this generation's basketball players, are ridiculous for fraternizing with each other. When he won his seventh Tour de France, I mean, it even gets into these little details. When he won his seventh Tour de France, he puts up seven fingers like Jordan put up six fingers when he won his sixth and final NBA championship. So there's all those similarities. The difference is this. First of all, besides the fact that Lance didn't have control over this, Lance Armstrong is all things charming. In this, you know, is he being honest now, or do you still have to, you know, do you still believe he's dishonest in many regards? That's up to the viewer to decide. But obviously what this does is give a very fair portrayal from both sides, of Lance's run up to win seven Tour de France's. And by the way, I talked to Chris Andrews, or texted briefly with Chris Andrews yesterday, and I asked him, what was the betting like on something like the Tour de France? He goes, it wasn't much, but it was all Lance money each and every year. But here's the thing about this documentary that's so good, and it's what makes documentaries in general great. I talked about non-sports ones in the past on A Numbers Game. One of the ones I really loved was the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling, the former or the late comic, I should say. It's just such a reflection of the human condition. Lance Armstrong is such a complicated character. And as somebody said in the docuseries, and I forget who said this, but they go, this is a story about really good people who did really bad things and bad people who did good things. So beyond Lance, some of his teammates as well, in decisions to finally rat him out, Floyd Landis finally deciding to blow the whistle on Lance after Floyd felt wronged not being allowed back into cycling when he was the one that tested positive and he knew all his teammates were getting away scot-free. But the ultimate question of this docuseries, and it's such a fascinating one, and it's such a reflection of how life is not black and white. Life is filled with complexities and with gray areas. The ultimate question of this documentary is, were all of Lance's misdeeds, all of his dishonesty, in the end, Is it ultimately right for him to be disgraced? Or, as with so many things in life, and you have to ask it in a certain way where you're like, huh, that's interesting, is the work that he did with his foundation and with Livestrong, in which he raised tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars for cancer research, is ultimately the result of that worth all of the cheating that he did on the other side? In other words, he was these two different characters, one who was doing not only the cheating, but doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on the cheating by suing people who dared, you know, say that he was lying, who dared try to besmirch him in any way. He was just an awful character on that side. But he did so much on the other hand for cancer research. And then when you take a step back, was it all in the end something that we should all just say, oh, well, he was this guy. But you know what? On the other hand, what's more important? It's a fascinating documentary, the two-parter. I couldn't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah, and I need to catch up and finish it like you were saying. And that's the greatest thing about it too, right? It leaves you open for interpretation on it. I guess, you know, with the Last Dance documentary, because like you pointed out, Jordan really had the last say, it kind of sways you a certain way how you're going to feel about certain players, teams, Jordan, the Bulls overall, et cetera. But with this one, which I assume from what you said and just how it looks, you're going to be left to decide for yourself. And because there's a philanthropic side with Lance Armstrong and what he did on the bike, look, it's bad on the one side, it's great on the other. I think you are able to separate both and recognize the greatness that was the one side and say, okay, I respect him for what he did for that, the research, bringing attention to it and raising all that money. But do I have to respect him as an athlete and a competitor? No, absolutely not, based on what happened. So it's up for everyone to decide. There are pros and cons, as there always is with everything. But like you said, I can't wait to watch the whole thing.
What's your favorite 30 for 30 doc of all time? What's the one for you?
I think,
because I will put this in the, I won't put it in the top five necessarily, but it was definitely a top 10 30 for 30 doc to me.
Did you ever see Benji, that 30 for 30?
Remind me, what was Benji? Oh no, I don't think I did.
Yeah, so Benji Wilson, I believe Wilson was the last name, but it was a kid who grew up in Chicago, potentially had the talent to be one of the best basketball players of all time. So he grew up in Chicago, got in an argument with another inner city kid, ended up getting shot, and his career was cut short because he died when he was high school before he was going to college. So not only do they just get the whole perspective of him growing up, his potential, what he was going to be, but they also get the kid who shot him and was arrested for it years later, and him as an adult, and you get his perspective as well. So you don't even really, or at least I didn't going into it, knowing they were going to get the actual guy who shot him on the documentary as well. So it just got you from all angles and was a very interesting story and obviously really sad, but just very fascinating all throughout.
Good call. I would put the two Escobars at the top. I would put, you know, one that they don't show very often, I think because there's some issue with who controls the rights to it. I might be wrong about that, but I think that's it. One about Vlade Divac and Tony Kukoc and how they navigated their friendship and strife between two countries. That was a fascinating one. And obviously there's the OJ docuseries, so 30 for 30, that was just off the charts. But I would put the Lance Armstrong two-parter on the tier right below that, because it's such a fascinating reflection of the human condition. Can't recommend it enough. Next week, Bruce Lee. I'm sure we'll have something to say about that, like water. Captain Jack, next. The disaster that is betting in the District of Columbia, coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. In California, what are they doing?